Nichols for calling and inviting me. I haven't been able for the last couple of years to attend like I'd like to. I enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the preaching. I must say this, that when I came in, you kind of look over your notes and your outline and whatever, and you think, that looks pretty good. Then Andy preached. I looked again, and it was a little weaker, Brother Andy. Then Brother Andy preached, and it got weaker still. And then Brother Randall preached, and it just about passed out. So the Lord's going to have to pump some blood back into this outline and so we can have a good time. I want to take just a minute and thank everyone that has prayed for me and prayed for my family. Most of you know, or if you don't, I lost my wife November the 7th, and we were together 54 years, and we pastored. I say this in knowing that she didn't pastor, but she pastored. She was with me for 45 years at our church, and many of you folks have called and was present there at the time of the funeral, and that really helped me. I appreciate it very, very much. I'm not real good at sending cards of thank you out or anything, so I just want to thank you now for all that you've done. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 41. You'll see why I say this is an anemic message here in just a minute. I can't get my mask off my... 41. Matthew 5, 41? What did I say? Matthew 41? Well, if you find it, let me know, will you? Well, I told you I was... I write them as I go. Matthew 5:41. Just a simple little message tonight. I won't take long, Lord willing. And it said, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." I looked at that, and I guess in the last couple, 3 months especially, I thought about what does it mean, if you will. And I come up with this. It's more than going beyond, if you will. It's unusual. It's not normal. It's not expected or necessary. It's better than ordinary. Yes. It's superior. Amen. Going that extra mile. Yeah. I thought about it, and I must say this, that over the years of preaching and pastoring, you preachers know what I'm talking about. At times we've been compelled to go that extra mile for people in our church, for families, and go beyond what is necessary, I guess you would say, as far as for the family. But that's part of the ministry. That's part of what God wanted us to do when he called us. But then also there's people in our churches and Christian folks that at times go beyond that first mile. They go that second mile. And I've experienced going that second mile for folks. But this last 2 or 3 months, I've experienced people going that extra mile for me. And I must say this, I didn't understand going that extra mile till I seen people start going the extra mile for me. I'm telling you, folks, people have been so good to me, so good to my family in this past 2 or 3 months. And I seen what it was to mean to go for someone that extra mile. Now, I want to take just a few minutes tonight to look at going that extra mile. Again, I say this, I know that people expect their pastor or their preacher to go that extra mile, and we should. And for the most part, we do. But then when someone goes that way for you, we are to be really thankful for what God has done. I looked at that extra mile. And as I've walked that extra mile before, that extra mile is a desolate mile. I mean, there's times when somebody would call at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and say, "Preacher, I need you. I want you to come to the hospital or whatever." I want to tell you something. It's hard to do. It's hard to get up. It's a desolate mile when there's nobody there with you or whatever, and you're going to the hospital and you don't know what you're going into. But yet God's called you and asked you to do this, so you do it, even though it is a lonesome time. Even though you do sometimes not feel like doing it, you just keep going ahead. And not only is it desolate, but it's a difficult extra mile. That first mile's hard sometimes. But that second mile sometimes gets extremely difficult. You know, you just... I want to say something. Your preacher gets sick every once in a while. Amen? But yet, for the most part, he'll go on and do what his job is required of him. Preachers will do that. Other people will do that, even though they don't feel like it. When God compels you, when God says, "This is what I want you to do," you'll go that extra mile. But because of the trouble and the trials and the feelings of it, it's a wonderful, delightful extra mile. You feel good when you do what God wants you to do. You feel good when you go that extra mile for someone, and you can see that they're so thankful and so hopeful now that you've been there and helped them in some way. It's a delightful thing to see that you've been able to help someone, but it's all because of what God has done. I want us to notice just a few things tonight, and I want us to notice the first thing is the command that was given us. He tells us to go. I mean, that's a command that the Lord has given us. I know that he's given us the command in Acts to go ye into all the world. I know all of those things. But here it's a personal command for when somebody needs you or something is needed in a family or whatever. He says, go. Now, I don't bring that down just to preachers. I don't bring that down just to pastors. But I do believe that for the most part, that's a large part of our jobs, is to go when they're needed, when people need you. I see that to go the extra mile with our talents, if you will. I enjoyed the singing tonight. Man, I'm telling you, I needed this. I really, really did. I needed to preach it. I needed the singing. I needed the fellowship. I needed the food. May I say this? Men, I don't like eating hot dogs and stuff now all the time. I can't cook for myself. My wife always took care of the cooking and everything. Now I'm down to hot. No, I'm not. I'm just decent. But you know, when you start eating your own cooking, you appreciate other people's a lot better at times. So I look at that, but I notice a command, and I notice the talents that we need to use like these young ladies did and these singers did, and I appreciate that. We need to go the extra mile for that because God give you that talent. God give you that ability to sing and do what he wants you to do when you need to do it. I know folks, and I don't mean to be ugly and mean about it, but I know folks that's got a lot of talent. But they'll only use it when they want to use it. Amen? I want to say something. If you're at my church and you've got talent and I know it, I'm going to push you one way or the other. I want you to use that talent. And I believe God wants you to use that talent or he wouldn't have given it to you. So we need to go that extra mile, if you will, with our talent and with our time. And also, as the old saying is, with our treasure. You know, we and it's not just financial things. You know, I know a man in my church just the other day. Please understand this, and I'm giving God the praise for it all. But there was another individual that needed some help with some furniture. And they had some. And they gave him, and it was nice furniture. They gave them the furniture. You see, that's part of the treasure. That's what you've got that God has given you that you may not use anymore or may be able to share it with somebody else. You know, going that extra mile and you stop and think about it and say, oh my, you know, I don't know, I don't want to offend nobody. Listen, somebody that's in need is not going to be offended too easily. Amen. And God will bless you for doing it. I want you to notice not only is it the Savior's requirement to go the extra mile, but we look at it and really it's the saint's responsibility. It's my responsibility as a child of God to go that extra mile when it's needed. And if I could possibly do it, God will give me the ability and God will give me the power to do it. I need to go. It's our responsibility to be ready to go that extra mile. Not just every once in a while, but every day. When God says there's a need here and you've got this to be able to supply them, you need to go. So we see that but there's too many uninterested people about being ready. Amen? Let me say this. I think you need to be ready whether there's a need or not. Then when a need comes up, you're ready. You need to pray and study and do everything you can to be ready when God says go and they need help. Go that extra mile and not have to spend time in the prayer room, if you will, before you decide whether to go or not. 1 mile is quite a way. I'm not, as you can tell, I'm not much of a walker or anything else. But I have walked a mile before, and that's hard for me. But going that extra mile is tough. But I found out one thing. If you push yourself and go that extra mile, it'll help you along the way and be a blessing to you. When you do something that God wants you to do and you go a little bit farther than what is expected of you, I guess, God's going to bless you. Amen? He's going to let you understand what it is to go that extra mile and be a blessing. So we see that the command was from the Savior, but we see also that as we look at the compelling to go, he says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go. So if it's not just friends that compel us to go. It's not necessarily just acquaintances. It's neighbors, it's people that we may not know that God compels us to go and help them in some way. And that word compel is strong. It's just not if you want to. It's compelling. He's compelling us. He's sending us to do what we need to do. Our Lord compels us to go. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So because he died for us, because he saves us from through his blood and from our sins, when we're compelled to go by him, we are to be able to go. We are to be willing to go and work for him to show the world that he's real, to show the world that being saved and being born again is worth the extra effort. Amen. Now, we don't do it to be saved. We don't do it to keep ourselves. But we do it because we are saved and God compels us. The extra mile is a show of livid Christianity. I think there's too much dead Christianity around. Huh? I mean, yeah, I'm a Christian. You know. But I believe a real Christian is Christ-like. And he was always up and about the Father's business. And we need to be up and about his business. We need to be a lively Christian. And that don't necessarily mean you have to run the aisles or whatever. But you need to be doing what God wants you to do. I believe going that extra mile is a show of charity. Of how that God loves you and Christ died for you. And now you can love the world and help them in any way you can. Help your brothers and sisters in Christ. I tell my folks at home every once in a while, there's a section over here and section in the middle and section over here. I said, the sad thing about it is These folks over in this section don't know what's going on over in this section. Huh? We come to church every Sunday morning, walk through the same doors, go to the same pew. Don't answer this. Just think about it yourself. You that are members here, are you sitting in the same pews you usually do on Sunday morning? My mom and dad was members of my church until they passed, and I would laugh at them every Sunday morning. Mom would come in. Dad, of course, would be talking to the men back in the back. Mom would come in, and I could watch her. She'd come over to this section, walk down the aisle, and count the pews. This is the one I'm sitting in. And they had their pew numbered. You know, a little nest, if you will. And here I'm going to settle into this nest. Too many of us have settled into our nest and not doing what we need to be doing. We need to be getting up. And we need to show the world that this is real, not just by name, but by action. I'm thankful for the compassion of being able to walk that extra mile people see. You see, when you go farther than you really need to, if you will, when you go farther than is necessary in your life, but God compels you to do it, people will see a compassion in your life. And they'll say, boy, it must be real. God has showed compassion through this one or that one and everything else. Jesus gives a strong push for the extra mile. He says, go. And sometimes, I've got to be honest with you, sometimes that extra mile is hard. And to get up out of the recliner and go do something that God's wanted you to do, sometimes it takes a little extra push from God. But he's always there. He'll not give up on you. He'll want you to go. Our love compels us to go. As his love compels us to go for him, our love for him compels us to go. Listen, I love him because he first loved me. Amen? And I don't pastor, I don't do the things that I do for money. If I was going to look for a job, pastoring a Baptist church would be one of the last things I'd look at. I mean, I better not get on that. Anyway, you guys will go tell them and I'll be fired. But our love compels us to go. Our love because he loved us and we love the world. Please understand this. I love the lost and dying world. I like to see them saved. I don't like what they do necessarily, but I like to go out and witness to them and tell them about Christ and pray that they'll get saved because God puts something in me to love the world and love the lost and dying world. Not only my brothers and sisters in Christ, but they put something in me to go. I want you to notice our love for him should motivate us to serve. Huh? Look at what it says in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. Moses, a servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, he's compelled us to love Christ. We're compelled to love God. But because of that, we're compelled to love the lost and dying world and to do and serve him the way he wants us to serve him. I want you to notice our love also should move us to sacrifice. Boy, now you get in trouble at the church when you preach about sacrifice. Oh, I can go back into the Old Testament and preach about sacrifices back there. When you bring it into the New Testament, bring it to us that are saved and talk about us that we need to be willing to sacrifice, you know, for others out of our own life, it gets quiet real quick. Amen? I mean, for the majority, please don't get mad at me. You probably won't have me back anyway. But anyway, when you talk about sacrifice, that's something from me that I've got to give to somebody else. Well, there's plenty of me, but I don't want to give any of it up. My flesh says just stay where you're at, do what you want to do, and forget about it. But my spirit inside said, hey, you can do this. You need to do this for them and help them in this way and that way. And I believe that shows the love of God and shows what God has done for you, that he sacrificed his son, the only begotten son, to die on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And I've got to tell you, he's given me more abundant life than I deserve. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. But I want you to notice, when you make sacrifices an extra mile, you're proving that your love for God and to the world. It's easy to say, I love the Lord. Huh? But when the rubber meets the road and you start showing that you love the Lord by doing what he tells you to do, that gets a little harder. That goes back to that sacrifice. That goes back to getting up and going that extra mile and saying, I'll do it, Lord, for you, because you've compelled me to do it. I believe that when you do this extra mile thing for God, when you go that extra mile, people, for people that you need to reach, you're perfecting your love for God. You see, the more I do for him, the closer I get to him. Yeah. The more I serve him, the more I love him, because he shows me his love. I want to tell you, you cannot outgive God. I mean, the more you give of yourself, the more he's going to give you back. And I'm so thankful for that. But then I want you to notice the last thing, if you would, please. We're going to notice the compassion of that extra mile. I want to tell you something. There's some things that come along with going that extra mile. And when you talk about compassion, I don't think there's anyone that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ himself that had as much compassion as they needed. Christ had compassion. He showed his compassion. And I believe that we can look and show our compassion by giving up our fighting and arguing and going on with one another. I believe the surrender in our warfare, if you will, shows our compassion and love that God puts in us. When you've been around churches for a while, you see a lot of different things in people. You know, you see arguments and fights and fussing over something that's not even important. Huh? Most churches split over everything but the Word. Amen? They look at one another. I made a statement Sunday. I probably shouldn't have, but I did anyway. And I was preaching about people. And I said, there's a lot of ugly people in the world. And I didn't mean facially ugly. I meant because inside of them they was ugly. I mean, there's a darkness in the lost and dying world that should be gone when we get saved. There's a light there that opens up that darkness. But I was talking about how that we treat each other ugly. We treat one another bad. But I want you to notice, when Christ fills your heart, and when he says, hey, I want you to do something for me, and the more you do it, the closer you get to him. And the closer you get to him, the more you're going to act like him. So we need to understand, he compels us to stop fighting and arguing. But then, I believe also that when we go that extra mile, we're willing to do more for him and show the world that he's real. I'm looking at a time today that in my 45 years of preaching or more, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, people, they just have no respect in some degree about the church house. They don't have any respect about the gospel. I mean, they can, I've talked to people that are lost and showed them the gospel and witnessed to them, and they'll either laugh at you or cuss at you. They don't have no respect for anything. You know, I heard my mom and dad say, and other folks too, that especially my age or older, that they never messed around the church building. I mean, when there was nobody there. They never would go in and do anything because even though they were lost and dying and going to hell, they had a respect for the building itself. That's not true anymore. I mean, in most cases, it's just not true. But I want us to understand that we look at that and we need to surrender what God has given us and surrender it back to Him and do what He needs us to do. We need to surrender our walk. Matthew 5:41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go twice as far as they've asked you to. Do twice as much as they've asked you to do. They've compelled you. They've asked you. Christ is pushing you to do what you need to be doing. I want you to notice. Surrendering our wallet. We're Baptist. Money is a harsh word in a Baptist church. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. It's true. We've not been taught the way the Bible. Most of us was never taught as young Christians about tithing. I wasn't. Most of us wasn't taught as young Christians about sacrificing. I wasn't. God compelled me to do some things and showed me to do some things. And over the years, I've grown just a little bit. And I understand that it's God's money to start with. Let's do something. Let's change the numbers just a little bit. God owns it all anyway. Amen. What if he said, I get 90 and you get 10? It'd still be fair. Amen? Amen? It's all his anyway. But he's been so good to us. He said, just tithe. Just give me a tenth of what I increased you with and I'll bless you. But boy, when it comes to that wallet, several years ago, and I don't know if Andy remembers this. He was a kid in the church at that time. But we had a special service, and the house was pretty packed. And the light, well, say that was a door going out, and the light switch was there. Well, my wife and I had went back there, and we was shaking hands with people as they was going out. And some way I got against that light switch and turned the lights out. And when they come back on, I said, every Baptist in the house had their hand on their billfold. I mean, you just got to look. The money situation in people's lives are taking over everything. And I'm not saying that you ought to give it all away. But if you've got something to give away, call me and I'll see you. You know, but I mean, sacrificing and giving is part of loving God. We need to surrender our wishes, too. Boy, I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that. if we live our lives with wishing, we won't go that second mile. Amen? Look at chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, when somebody looks at you and despitefully use you, then it's not easy to say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I don't think God really expects us to do that. But I do think that he expects us to go ahead as a Christian and live the way he would do it. I mean, they persecuted him. Why should we expect any less? They smacked him and beat him and everything else. And I mean, I've not had that done to me yet, but why should I expect any less? That's God's son they done it to. So we need to look at that and understand that our wishes always don't come true. This is not Disneyland. This is a real world we're living in. And in order to live in the real world the way we need to, We need the power of God on our lives. We need to stand up and be willing to do what God has us to do and go that extra mile because He compels us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before You again today. We thank You for the mighty preaching that has been done here this afternoon. And Father, I thank You for the singing. And I pray, God, that You take this little bit of mine that You've given me and use it in a way that is beyond any expectation of mine. I pray, Father, that You just open people's hearts to go in that extra mile, and what a blessing it really is. We thank and love You in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Brother Nichols.